This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This Day in Sports History. Well, hello there, and welcome back to This Day in Sports History. It's May 15th, and on this day in 1981, Cleveland's Len Barker pitched a perfect game. The Cleveland Indians were at home on this cold and misty evening taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. Barker is never going to be associated with the all-time greats, but he had a solid 11-year career with the Rangers, Indians, and Braves. And this is the prime of his career. The year prior, in 1980, that was his best season. He won 19 games. He led the majors in strikeouts with 187. He would lead the majors in the strike-shortened 81 season as well. But here in May, a little less than a month before the strike would wipe out 2 months of the season, Barker was on top of his game. Now, the Blue Jays didn't exactly present a murderer's row of hitters. In fact, they were the worst team in the American League this season, especially in the first half. But the perfect game nearly was a moot point from the start. The first batter that night was Alfredo Griffin, who hit a ground ball that was destined to go into center field. But shortstop Tom Verizer, showing some range to his left, snow-coned it in his webbing, and then he whipped the throw to first to nip Griffin by a half step. And that was the closest the Jays would come to reaching base the rest of the night. Only four balls were hit hard enough to make it to the outfield, all can of corn fly balls reeled in. Barker had control of his fastball all night, hitting the gun at 96 throughout the night, and he never came close to walking anybody. And he got stronger as the game went on. He struck out 11, with 7 of those Ks coming in the final 4 innings. When Ernie Witt popped up for the 3rd out in the 9th, Len Barker had the 8th perfect game in modern Major League history, and the first one in 13 years in the majors. A couple of interesting things from this game. Catching Barker that night was Ron Hassey, who would become the first and still only catcher in Major League history to catch 2 perfect games. He was the battery mate of Dennis Martinez when he threw his for the Montreal Expos in 1991. Also in the lineup that night for the Blue Jays was Danny Ainge. Ainge was in the Blue Jays organization when he was in college at BYU. After the 81 season, Ainge decided basketball was more for him, so he made himself eligible for the NBA draft that year and was selected by the Boston Celtics. But before he could play in the NBA, the Celtics had to buy out his contract with the Blue Jays. Also on this day in 1912, Detroit Tiger Ty Cobb went into the stands at New York's Hilltop Park and started beating on a man who had been heckling him since the start of the game. By most accounts, Cobb was easily angered, flat-out mean, consistently a bully, vindictive, and paranoid. Well, in the 4th inning, the fan, Claude Luker, said the wrong thing or a series of wrong things after heaping criticism and vitriol on the Georgia Peach for the past hour, and Cobb tossed his glove down, raced into the outfield stands, and proceeded to pummel Luker. Now, Luker had the misfortune of not having any hands, so he couldn't fight back very well. That did not matter to Cobb, who continued to hit him in the head, beat him to the ground, and then spiked him and kicked him. Fans around him screamed for him to stop, telling him he doesn't have any hands, to which Cobb replied, "I don't care if he doesn't have any feet." Cobb was ejected from the game, and American League president Ben Johnson handed down a 10-game suspension. There would be further repercussions that I'll talk about on this dish for the 18th from this particular event. But, of course, This wasn't the only fight that Cobb would be known for. He famously got in fights with umps, teammates, players on the other team, and even a hotel night watchman. In 1990, it was the Edmonton Oilers outlasting the Boston Bruins in the longest Stanley Cup Finals game in NHL history. With the game tied at 2 in the third overtime, Peter Klima slid the puck past the Bruins' Andy Moog for the game winner with 5:47 left. After Edmonton took a 2-goal lead in the first period, Moog had shut out the Oilers for more than 72 minutes. The game nearly ended in the first OT, but Asa Tikkanen's goal was disallowed and the game played on. The longest Cup Finals game actually took a little bit longer than it should have, though, if that makes any sense. But the game had to be paused for a half hour when the lights in the Boston Garden went dark and then repaired. In 1941, it was just a simple ground ball that skated through the infield for a hit, but it was the first rumbling of a future earthquake. On this day in 41, Joe DiMaggio hit safely in the first game of what would eventually be his Major League record 56-game hitting streak. And in 1994, golfer Neil Lancaster won a six-player playoff to claim victory in the Byron Nelson Classic. Rain had shortened the event from 72 to just 36 holes, and at the end of the 36, there were six golfers still tied for the lead. Interestingly enough, it would only take one extra hole to decide the winner, and it wasn't like Lancaster holed out from the fairway or anything crazy like that. Instead, he hit his approach to within 4 feet, and he rolled in his birdie putt to win. Nobody else in the group could equal it to force another hole. The six-way playoff is the largest sudden-death playoff in the history of the PGA Tour. And time now for today's non-sports Did You Know? Okay, you've heard of a wine sommelier, right? But how about a water sommelier? Yep, there are about 100 qualified water sommeliers in the world who can tell you if, say, that Pittsburgh tap pairs well with your Philly cheesesteak. That's all for today. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we got to show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.